Good morning, good morning, good morning, Boker Tov. Welcome back to 10 Minutes of Meaning. As always, a big thank you to our series sponsors, our dear friends Marilyn and Michael Fedak. Thank you for their generosity sponsoring our learning of Tanya and so much more. Please help yourself. Coffee, slushies, pastries, soon soup in our Reb Shaila corner. A couple of announcements as we dive into the sixth parak of Tanya together. First, a reminder, this coming Monday night, you are invited to the biggest Chabad in Boca, biggest Chabad in Florida, which is Boker Tov Synagogue Shtibel Minyan. A very big special Yud Tes Kislev Fabringen and Siyam Hashas. And Siyam Hashas. Include incredible guest speakers, live music. This Monday night, 7:15 p.m. Catered hot food will be served, it says on this amazing flyer. So don't miss it this Monday night. Yud Tes Kislev Fabringen. Be there or be Litfish. Okay. Also, I want to share with you, as we begin the sixth parak of Tanya, we're making our way over from having spoken a lot about the chilek alakom yimol mamish, the godly soul, the godly spirit, the godly piece of us, not as if the God is in us, but the piece of Hashem that is in us. We've shared many times that there are so many who doubt and who question, does Hashem exist? Is He out there? Does He care? Can I find Him? And they look all over. They look in universe, and they look for evidence, and they look for proofs, when the truth is the only place they need to look is in the mirror. If a person looks in the mirror, if a person looks into themselves, if a person looks at their own life, if you look at your own biology, if you look at your own anatomy, if you look at the unfolding of your own life, if you look at your own faculties, you don't need to look elsewhere to find evidence of Hashem's existence. That chelek alakom yimal mamash, there's a piece of Hashem of the Ribbono Shalom, literally inside each and every one of us, you can find Him in ourselves. And we spoke all about the 10 spheros and the three different levush, the three garments that expresses itself, Dibur, Machshava, and Maisa, speech, thought, and in action. And the Baal Tanya walked us through in the last several prakim, the highest level, the greatest yichud, is learning Hashem's Torah. Learning Hashem's Torah. The intellect and thought is higher than any other realm of emotion. And now we make our way over to the sixth parak. In the sixth parak, the Alter Rebbe, the Baal Tanya, returns to the Nefesh Bahami, the animal soul that we began Tanya with, that were made up and comprised of two competing souls. There's a God, piece of God inside us, but there's also an animal impulse, an animal instinct. We have so much in common, anatomically, in our faculties. We eat, we eliminate what we ate, we reproduce. Chazal say those three things we have in common with an animal. We are an animal endowed also with a godly soul, and one can't and shouldn't deny either of those. And unlike other ashkafas, unlike other philosophies, the Alter Rebbe introduced a very novel and powerful idea, which we'll unpack right now, that our mission and goal is not to slaughter the animal soul, it's not to eliminate the animal soul, it is to train the animal soul, elevate the animal soul. We don't kill every animal around us. In the old days, certainly the farmer needed an ox in order to plow. A person needs a dog in order to protect them. A person needs a lizard to eat the insects. That's about my knowledge of the animal kingdom. You just heard all of it right there. So we need the animals, but we train them to work for us. We train them to serve us. The animals serve a purpose. We're not looking to purge or eliminate, and that's what we're going to get into in the sixth parak. But I want to share with you, my dear friend, Rav Moshe Vavovsky, shared with me this morning a letter from the Rebbe that solved the 24th of Shvat 5713. And here's a letter from the Rebbe. And the Rebbe wrote, as to your complaint that you have found nothing to take out from the Tanya, certainly somebody wrote the Rebbe saying, I'm learning Tanya, not getting anything out of it. 10 minutes of meaning, Wednesday mornings with Goy, learning Tanya. Maybe it's him. He doesn't even know what he's talking about, but maybe it's me. I'm not getting anything out of the Tanya. That's what the author wrote the Rebbe. So the Rebbe wrote back, I'll point out some lines which are obviously full of meaning. For example, in chapter 6, page 20, the 10 lines from the 7th to the 17th, you'll find enough material to occupy your mind for hours and days. Likewise, the first four lines, page 19, page 14 from the end of the fifth line. In the same way, you'll find some lines on each page which will inspire you to Avas Hashem, Yiras Hashem. And the more you'll think about these meaningful teachings, the higher you'll rise spiritually. In the course of a letter, it's impossible to say more, but the Rosh Yeshiva and Senior Talmidim will surely help if you will ask them. The important thing is not to be discouraged, for to learn Tanya is like learning any other profound subject. In the same way as when you began Gemara Chumash, you cannot expect to delve deeply as you will years later, so too with Tanya, you'll gain depth as the time goes on, your mind will grasp more and more. I'm giving that as a preview, as the ultimate endorsement for what we're about to start, the sixth parak of Tanya. Because if the Rebbe's response is, Tanya's not speaking to you, oh, you got to check out the sixth parak. Look at these lines and those lines and the other lines. The sixth parak, you got to check out parak Vav. So, Chevra, that's what we're about to do. We're checking out parak Vav. So with that, let's dive in. So the Alter Rebbe begins parak Vav. In the four previous chapters, we talked about, as I said, the divine soul, the mental and emotional powers, the garments, and so on. And now that we have defined, now that we have seen the architecture of the divine soul, the Nefesh Elokus, so now know that equal and opposite, Zelu Umaza Asa Elokim. Where'd the Rebbe, Alter Rebbe, get that line from? It's a pasuk in Koheles. Pasuk in the seventh parak of Koheles. Zelu Umaza Asa Elokim. Hashem has made one opposite the other. In other words, one of the axioms of our faith is to know that Hashem created a universe, He set up the world, where in order to preserve our free will, which is the essence and purpose of creation, there have to be equal alternatives that present themselves. If it was obvious that if you do what's right and what's good, you'll be rewarded and you'll live a beautiful, long, and healthy and happy life, and if you do what's bad and what's wrong and you neglect and you're disobedient to Hashem, then you'll be sick and poor and miserable, then would one have free will which to do? Of course not. Free will doesn't mean physically the capacity to do it. Free will means that the options and alternatives present themselves to me equally. And now it's my free will which is choosing what to do. Whenever I speak about this, I always give the mashal. Person's on the highway, they're driving. Some people are known, not me, chas v'shalom, but some people have a heavy foot, as they say. The speed limit's a suggestion. You can go a little bit above it, not me, and I'm not endorsing this, but some people go a little fast. Even the person who speeds and goes fast, if there's a policeman, a police person, I guess you have to say now, a policeman on the highway in front of them, will they zip around them and fly past them? Do they have free will to go so fast to press the accelerator and to fly around the policeman? Well, if you define free will as the ability to push on the gas pedal, of course they do. Of course they do. Gas pedal works. You can push on it. You can go 20 miles over the speed limit. You can fly around the cop. But I would argue that they don't have free will. Any healthy, normal person would not go around a policeman to speed. In that moment, your free will is essentially suspended, which is why Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Ribono Shalom, who's not a policeman, far from it, he's a loving father, but doesn't reveal himself explicitly to us in this world, because if he were to reveal himself explicitly to us, then we wouldn't have free will. And the whole purpose and essence of life is to have free will. It's through the choices that we make that we either come close or further away from Hashem. But we wouldn't be making a choice if one saw undeniably Hashem. So Hashem lives with a certain hiddenness. He conceals himself. There is the option, invitation, opportunity to deny his existence. And it's only through free will, it's choosing and opting into a relationship with him, that life in itself has meaning. Free will is the essence and purpose of life. There is only free will when he allows himself to be hidden. And there's only free will when we have equal alternatives presenting themselves. All of that is in this pasuk in Koheles. So far, the Alter Rebbe hasn't said one word. All he's done is quote a pasuk in Koheles. But what he's setting up this parak to teach us and tell us is, therefore, if we understand the architecture of the godly divine soul, of who naturally we are drawn to the above, drawn to the good, to Hashem, then we need to know that it must be in this world and in life to have free will, there must be an equal and opposite architecture of an animal soul. There must be an impulse and an instinct and a drive not to do the right thing, but the wrong thing. There must be an impulse and a drive not to connect to what is above us, but to be drawn to what is below us. Zelu umazas al alokim. Kikamosha nefesh alokis klula me'asya sviros kedoshos, just as the divine soul is comprised of 10 holy spheros or energies. We saw 3 of the intellect, 7 of emotion. Umislabeshes b'shlosh levushim kedoshim. These 10 energies are dressed in 3 holy garments, namely, the garments are the external manifestation of our internal selves. What are the 3 garments again? Machshava, dibur, and maisa, thought, speech, and action. And again, I don't want to go backwards, but we saw this was, to me, a huge chiddush of the Baal HaTanya of the Alter Rebbe. I would have put thought in the world of my inner world, not my outer world. I would have placed and categorized machshava, thought, action, external. Speech, external. What's happening inside here? My thought, I would have put in my inner world I wouldn't have said it's a lavush. I wouldn't have said it's a garment. I would have put in my inner world. We unpacked that a couple of prakim ago, why he said that. But it, no, it's external. It's external and separate still and apart. And apart, it's a lavush. Kacha nefesh de sitra achra. So to the soul, the animal soul of the sitra achra. The architecture of the animal soul also has 10 energies and 3 garments. The sitra achra, the animal impulse, the animal instinct, the animal soul, that animal drive, also manifests, it wears the garments of speech, thought, and action. And the architecture of it is equal and opposite. Also the 10, not sviros, but here he'll categorize it as the kisrin, based on a Zohar, a keser. What does keser mean? A crown. The sviros are internal. They're essential. A crown is not who you are. A crown is what you wear. A crown is placed on your head. And in this way, the animal soul is different. The godly soul are spheros. The animal soul is a crown. The crown is placed on the head. The crown can be placed and the crown can be removed. So the soul of, and here the Alter Rebbe uses the term, sitra achra. What is sitra achra? The dark side, the other side, the side of self-serving ego energy. It's like what we spoke about in, if you could remember that far back, Shabbat Shuva. Shabbat Shuva, we spoke about ego versus Elokus. There's ego, ego. My name, my honor, my glory, ego. Oh, shkoyach. Ego, ego versus Elokus. Right? We posed that when developed it over a long time, Shabbat Shuva, that we should analyze everything through the prism of why. Why do I want this? Why do I feel this? Why do I want to do this? Is that my ego or is that Elokus? Sitra achra is ego. The nefesh Elokus is Elokus. What am I making contact with inside me? Which impulse do I want to listen to? What am I trying to elevate? My ego or my Elokus? Sitra achra, the other side. Why is it called the other side? Why is it called the other side? Alter Rebbe just said, Zelu mazasa Elokim, there's two sides. And these sides present themselves equally. In order to have free will, in order to have choice, we have two options. And the options are this side and the other side. The godly soul is this side, and the animal soul is the other side, or the dark side. Miklipas Noga. Specifically, its power is from the force known as Klipas Noga. Klipas Noga we'll get much more into in the next parak. And in the next parak, he talks about the Klipas Noga. How do you define Klipas Noga? The bright Klipa, whose negativity is not irredeemable. Klipas Noga can be transformed. It's malleable, it can be molded. It's unlike the klipa of the other side. It's more, can potentially be shaped as neutral. Hamalubeshas bedama adam, while the animal soul is spiritual, cannot be confined to a particular place. Where is it? It's in the blood. The animal soul, just like the godly soul, is not, you can't dissect the body and find where it is. There's no hard drive to take out. You can't plug in a USB drive and download it. Neither the godly soul nor the animal soul. But yet, if you had to associate the animal soul with any part of your biology or anatomy of who you are, where would the animal soul be placed? In the dam, in the blood. Kedam hu anefesh, bedam ha'adam. It's in the blood. It's the source of our physical vitality, right? Person says, my blood is flowing. You know, somebody who's energized, maybe somebody who's energized towards the animal impulse and soul, their blood is flowing, their blood is boiling, their blood, we use it in our vernacular. When we talk about it, when we describe the word blood, because the blood is that animal soul. Klula me'eser kisrin dimsavusa. The 10 powers within the animal soul are referred to as by the Zohar as the eser kisrin dimsavusa. The 10 crowns of impurity. Again, not sfira, but when it comes to the animal soul, they're crowns, because crowns can be put on and taken off, and the animal soul is not intrinsic and essential to who we are. Shein sheva midos ro'os habos mi'ar b'yisod ezroim. These powers of the animal soul are made up of 7 negative emotional powers that come from negative elements. And it's karm lael. What are the 4 negative elements that we spoke about before? What are the 4 elements of earth, of the world? Fire, water, air, and earth. Those are the 4 elements. And those 4 elements are associated with 4 behaviors, all negative, namely anger, indulgence, shallowness, and laziness. The divine soul has the same architecture, 3 intellectual, 7 emotional. Okay. B'seichel ha-molidon ha-nechalek ha-shalosh, the intellect of the animal soul, which produces negative emotions, mirrors the divine soul and is divided into three. Chochma bina v'das, makor ha-midos. So just like the godly soul has an intellect, that's the driver, that's the engine, and the intellect is the higher part, and the intellect is made up of three parts, chochma, bina, and das. The animal soul also has an intellect and is made up of three parts, which are the makor of the emotions. In other words, even the animal soul, which is much more base and lowly and shallow, and is an animal impulse and animal instinct, but has a level of intellect. Because how does the animal know what to crave? How does the animal know what to want, what to be drawn to? There is an intellect. If Chaim Miller, in his commentary, writes, for example, you know ice cream tastes good, and therefore you crave it and want it. But first you have to know that ice cream tastes good. If you didn't know the flavor and the taste, you wouldn't be drawn. So there is a chachma, bina, and das, there is an intellect to the animal soul. Years ago, when I first tried to learn Tanya, I wrote a note here on the side, that the nefesh behemoth is midos to seichel, whereas the nefesh elokus is seichel to midos. Which one is the leader or driver of the other? Does the intellect lead to the behavior, or does the behavior lead to the intellect? Ki amidos hein lefi erech haseichel. The emotions are relative to the intellect. Ki akotan choshek ve'oiv dvarim ketan b'chusei ha'erech. A child desires and loves small trivial things. Right? The adult who's more sophisticated, more knowledgeable, more intellectually developed craves bigger things and more dangerous things. And the child just wants a tchotchke, just wants a little toy. His intellect is too small and immature to appreciate anything more valuable. Child is angered and infuriated by small things. Okay, all of that is section one of Perek Vav. Perek Vav that we read, the Rebbe's own endorsement, that if you're not connecting to Tanya, wait for Perek Vav. That's the Perek. All of this was the introduction, and the summary of the introduction is that zel umaz zasal alukim, that the essential meaning of life is to have free will, to have to be equal and opposite alternatives, and if there's a godly soul with the architecture of three of intellect, seven of emotion, 10 spheros in total, dressed in the three garments of speech, thought, and action, so equal and opposite it, creating our alternatives that drive our free will and choice, is the architecture of the animal soul. The animal soul also has an intellect, chachma, bina, and das. The animal soul also has the equivalent of 10 spheros, only their keser, their crown that's put on and can be taken off, like the 10, 3, and 7. And the animal soul is equal and opposite. And the animal soul has an intellect, knowledge that then drives us, that is our impulse. And then he gets into the heart of it, which is section 2, which we'll pick up with next week, but I'll just give you the one-word introduction. Because this is a big chiddush, an amazing contribution of the Alter Rebbe. In halacha, and even in hashkafa beforehand, most people saw the world as divided into three categories. Three categories. Mitzvah, and Rishus. Aser means it's forbidden. Can't eat non-kosher food. Can't do a malach on Shabbos. Aser. Mitzvah means there's an inherent intrinsic value. It's a mitzvah. Put on tefillin, it's a mitzvah. And breakfast this morning, is that an aveira or a mitzvah? Neither. You're going to go to the mall and go shopping. You're going to go buy a new suit. Aveira or mitzvah? So there was a whole category, Ben Bechaya others have, called Rishus. Rishus means neither. It's a third category. It's called neutral. It's like a kitchen. You have milchiks, you have fleishiks, and you have the Alter Rebbe eliminated parav. Happens to be, I hold, in the world of kashrus, it's easier to not have parav. Parav confuses things, but I don't want to confuse you, so that's not for now. But the Alter Rebbe said, there's no parav. He came along and said, in this paradigm, in this model, there's this side, and the Sitra Achra, the other side. There's only two sides, not three. You can't have three. There's this side and the other side, which means there is no neutral. There is no parav. You're going to buy a suit? Where are you buying it? Why are you buying it? How are you buying it? How do you behave while you buy it? What are you going to wear it for? What's your intention and your kavana as you buy it? Where'd you earn the money for while you buy it? You're buying it is either adding and contributing to your holiness, to your godly soul. It's an expression of your elokus, or it's an expression of your ego. The world and your life is divided into ego and elokus, this side and the other side. There is no neutral. There is no parav. And there is no parav. There is no neutral. There is no in-between. That's what he's going to get to. That's what we're going to pick up with. We're off next week. I'm traveling. Mirtz Hashem, the week after. Have a wonderful day. Stay happy, stay healthy, stay holy.